Well, hymn number 383, as we commence our service tonight, 383, pages 331, there will never be a sweeter story, story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. 383, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence tonight, and in through that precious and all-worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to thank thee, we come to rejoice, and to praise thy holy name tonight for thy great love, wherewith you have loved us. We can say tonight, even as we have been singing, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? And surely, Lord, when we consider what the love of Christ cost, what the love of Christ attained, we can say tonight it is wonderful, beyond our human comprehension. But Lord, we thank thee tonight that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, as we consider all that we were by nature, we think, Lord, of our sin, our rebellion, our hatred to thee. Lord, we were born with no thought after God. Lord, we were born with dark and depraved hearts. And yet, Lord, we thank thee that it was for sinners such as we the Saviour died. We thank thee, Lord, that it was for our sin that he has suffered such. And we thank thee, Lord, that he who knew no sin, he who could not sin, was made sin for us. Lord, we cannot fully understand it. We cannot take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. Yet, Lord, we thank thee tonight that you bore it all. We thank thee, O God, for all the pain and all the agony. Lord, we think of that time on the cross, when this world was blackened and darkened, when God turned his back on his Son, that we might never, never be forsaken. Lord, we want to thank Thee tonight for the great love of God, and that love is demonstrated and seen in the work of Christ on the cross. Lord, we can talk so easily about love today, but Lord, there is no love like Thy love. And Lord, we thank Thee tonight that we stand redeemed, we stand accepted in Christ because of His love. We thank Thee, O God, that an angry God was appeased through the death of Christ, the blood of Christ which was shed on the cross. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee, O God, for each redeemed soul in this meeting tonight. We thank Thee, O God, for the day that in love You stepped into our lives and You changed our lives around. Lord, in love You took us out of the darkness of sin and You brought us into the light of the gospel. We thank Thee, O God, that tonight we stand accepted in God through Christ. And O God, we pray for those in this meeting tonight still in the darkness of their sin. O Lord, we pray that this night that they will come, that they will enter in through Christ the open door. This night they'll be saved. Lord, that this night they will experience the love of God for themselves. Lord, that they'll not only merely sing about it from their lips, but Lord, that they'll be able to go out of this meeting with that song in their hearts, thanking Thee, praising Thee, for the love of God which reached them, and for the blood of Christ which saved them. And O God, we pray that You'll so therefore work in hearts and lives. We pray, Lord, this night that You'll take sinners out of their sin and bring them to Thee. We pray, Lord, that blinded eyes will be opened. We pray, Lord, that this night hearts will be opened to receive the Word of God. And Lord, that the gospel in this place tonight will have free course and be glorified. We pray, Lord, that this night there will be a work that will be done in hearts and lives that lasts for all of eternity. We thank Thee, O God, that when you save not just for a moment of time, but Lord, you save for this time and for the world that is yet to come. And O God, we pray that this night that You'll so therefore be about Thy business. May the Spirit of God descend upon this meeting tonight. May we have a very real sense that God is here. Lord, in a way that we have never experienced or known before, we pray, Lord, that You'll come. We ask Thee, O Lord, to come, be one of our number. Give us help in our worship. Give us help in our praise. And O God, we pray that tonight, as we leave this place, that we will leave it knowing that God has been here, that the voice of God has been heard, the hand of God has been seen at work. So, Lord, we pray that You'll just answer prayer for us. Lord, we pray that You'll help us as we sing these hymns. Give us, Lord, that spirit of praise and thanksgiving unto Thee. Lord, we pray as well that You'll remember our sister Carla, she would come and sing to us. We thank Thee, Lord, for her and for the gifts and talents that Thou hast given to her. And Lord, for the way that she's using them in the service of the Master. And bless her tonight as she would sing to us and encourage her and make her life a blessing. And Lord, as we then come to the Word of God, we pray, Lord, for the help of the Spirit. Lord, we pray that this night will be not hearing the voice of any man, but Lord, that this night will hear the voice of God. So Lord, we pray that You'll take complete control of this place. Lord, we pray that this night You'll take us out of the realms of the natural. Lord, bring us into a different place with Thee. Lord, make this an unusual meeting. Lord, make it a meeting that we will never forget. A meeting when the Spirit of God came, and Lord, that You breathed upon us. So Lord, breathe upon us tonight. Lord, we pray that You'll do that new thing amongst us. And Lord, that this night, that You'll cause Thy face to shine upon us and be gracious to us, we pray. So answer prayer. Continue on with us tonight. Bless each head bowed in Thy presence. Do all of us good, we pray. For we ask it in Thy name and for the honor and glory of Christ alone. Amen. Amen. We are glad tonight to have our sister Carla. Welcome her back to Sandown tonight. And we want to thank her very much for coming, giving of her time and being amongst us. We're going to ask you to come at this stage, Carla, and sing your first few pieces. Thank you.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in His light and wrote His law of righteousness with power upon my heart. My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given by the King, so I will give my life, my all, to love and follow Him. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. When from my dying bed my ransomed soul shall rise, Jesus died my soul to save, shall fill the vaulted skies. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it all.
Thank you very much indeed, Carla, for those messages and song. Would you wish you could sing like that? Just keeping on tune would be good without the music. That was tremendous, Carla. The Lord bless you. And the Lord has been honoured through those messages and song. I want to give you all a very warm word of welcome along to our gospel service tonight. We want to thank you for coming, and we pray the Lord will bless us as we meet in his house tonight. To each and to every one of you then, we extend that special word of welcome. Any who may be visiting, we are glad to have you, and you're very welcome with us this evening in Sandown. Again, we want to express our sympathies to our sister Greta and assure her and Yvonne and Norman as well. We include in our sympathies and assure Greta, especially at this time, on the death of her sister, that the Lord will draw very near and bless her in her time of sorrow. And again as well, we congratulate Rachel Crawford on her engagement to David McCauley from our Ballymoney congregation, and we congratulate Rachel and David. Do remember the meetings throughout the rest of the week for the will of God. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, our Bible studies continue, and the Reverend Michael Patrick will be along again tomorrow night at 8. Tuesday and Thursday, the early morning seasons of prayer at 6 a.m., and then on Tuesday night as well, our children's meeting will be here at 7 o'clock. Wednesday, members of session and committee will meet for a meeting at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday night at 8, that will be a deputation meeting. Our brother, Mr. Kyle Graham, who is going out in the next number of months in the will of the Lord to Lock and to Port Lincoln in Australia and to take up the work of God there. Kyle will be along on Thursday night to tell of that work that he is going to. And there will be an offering lifted during the meeting that will go to help our brother in the work of God there in Australia. So we want you to come, want you to be here and to support our brother as he goes all those many miles away from home, he and his wife and little daughter. Pray that the Lord will bless them. So you come and support Kyle as he comes here on Thursday night. Youth Fellowship will meet on Friday night at 8. And please remember, young people, we want you to read Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, and then the quiz will be based on the third chapter of Ruth. The men will meet for prayer as well on Friday night at 8. And also, there will be an ordination and installation service in our Ballygowan church, and that will be for our brother Mr. Paul Hanna. Paul will be taking up the work of God in Mount Merion, and he will be ordained and installed on Friday night in our Ballygowan church at 8. So if you're free, I know you'll be welcome along to that meeting. And then Saturday morning, that will be the annual memorial service at 11 a.m. for Private Fred Starrett and Private James Cummings, who were murdered by the IRA. And there will be that memorial service at 11 a.m. And if you can come and stand with the family, I know they would certainly appreciate your support at that memorial service. Saturday morning in Royal Avenue, down in the city centre at 11 a.m. And then next Lord's Day, the services, 7:30, the early morning, season of prayer, 10:15, Sabbath school and the Bible classes, and then 11:30 and 7. And also in the afternoon time, we'll have the monthly meeting in the Domino Care Home at 3 o'clock. Next Lord's Day evening, the Word of Truth will be here, God willing, to sing. Our church dinner, Friday the 11th of March. If you haven't as yet got your names down for that or got your forms back, please do that as soon as possible, and certainly before next weekend, please. If you need more menus, make sure you get them tonight as you leave, but if we could have them all back by the end of this month, that would be appreciated. Thank you. And then to remember, on Monday the 7th of March, we're having a special meeting here, and the Reverend Reggie Cranston from our church in Port Hope in Canada. The Reverend Cranston will be here to preach on Monday the 7th of March. Let's take our hymn books again, and we'll turn for our offering hymn to the hymn number 224. 224. The page is 267. Well-known hymn, lovely gospel hymn, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" of the Lamb. 224, and we'll keep our seats for the opening verses of this hymn as your offering for the Lord's work will be received. The last two verses, verses 3 and 4, and the chorus, let's stand as we sing, please. Verse. I'm going to ask Carla to come again and sing for us, please. Thank you.
Filled with avoiding where the Lord would have you.
Thank you again, Carla, for coming and singing for us. We do appreciate your ministry and your help in the meeting tonight. We pray the Lord will continue to bless that word as it's been sung to us. We're turning tonight in the Word of God to the Gospel of John again, John's Gospel. And this time we're going to chapter 10. Some weeks back we started a series on the I Am sayings of Christ, as we have them in John's Gospel. And we're coming to another one of them tonight, John's Gospel then, chapter 10. And we'll read the first part of this chapter together, John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. We'll end there at verse 11. And may the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to the word of God this evening. Let's just still our hearts as we come to God's word for tonight. It's that verse 9 especially, where the Lord says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Heavenly Father, as we come to thy precious word for this evening, we ask, O God, for the stillness of heaven to fall. We pray, Lord, for an increasing sense of thy presence tonight. Lord, how much we need thee. Thank thee, Lord, for help given already. Lord, we thank thee for help given to Carla, she has sung. And Lord, we pray now that as we come to thy precious word, Lord, that you'll give us that special help that we so desperately need. Lord, we stand, Lord, before thee, and all of the weakness, and Lord, all of the inability of the flesh. And O God, we pray that this night you be pleased to use, Lord, the Word of God, and Lord, by the application of the Spirit of God, apply to all and every heart. Lord, for those who are here without Christ, Lord, speak very clearly, we pray. And Lord, for each one that's saved, Lord, we pray that thy word will come with freshness and come with power to all of our hearts tonight. Lord, we pray that thou would be pleased to come. Take these words, we pray. And Lord, use it. Use each and every word of God to thine honor and to thy glory and to the salvation of precious souls, we ask. Heavenly Father, this night, may sinners no longer run from Christ, but Lord, that this night they'll run to thee in faith and repentance. Lord, answer prayer. Work on, speak on, we pray, in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. As we continue on looking at these I Am sayings of Christ in John's Gospel, we come now to this 10th chapter, probably one of the most familiar chapters in all of this Gospel book. And in this chapter we find two of the sayings of the Lord. First of all, I am the door, and then I am the good shepherd. Next week, in the will of the Lord, we will look at that subject of the Lord as being the Good Shepherd. But tonight we want to focus our attention on this third saying of the Lord as we find it there in verse 7, but especially in verse number 9 as well. The Lord says, I am the door. But when we talk about Christ as being the door, and Christ as being the Good Shepherd, as he says in verse number 11, while we will look at them separately, there are many reasons that we ought to look at them together, because in so many ways there is no separation amongst them. Yes, they are in close proximity to each other in the Scriptures, but they are also in close proximity in relation to their meaning and to their significance. The images of both the door and the sheepfold, and they're all woven together here throughout this chapter. Because, of course, as we have noticed over these past number of weeks, they all ultimately refer to Christ. This is a wonderful use, once again, of imagery. Because Christ speaks of the door, and then he very emphatically says that he is the door. We saw that in weeks gone by. He spoke about the bread of life, and then very clearly and very definitely he said that he is the bread of life to hungry sinners. He talked about the light of the world, and then he says very clearly that he is the light of this world. He alone gives light to darkened sinners. And so again, as he speaks of the door into this sheepfold, he again declares himself to be that very door. This episode here in John chapter 10 all takes place out of an encounter and out of a confrontation that the Lord had with the Jewish leaders in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, as to prove the point and the real significance of the meaning of Christ being the light of the world, as he said in John chapter 8, he comes across a man who has been blind by birth. The Lord heals his blindness. He takes the clay from the ground, places it upon his eyes, and the man's light is restored. But then the self-righteous and the pompous Pharisees, they ask if it is right for a man to be healed on the Sabbath day. Those religious leaders who knew nothing of Christ, those men who were in darkness, those men who were blind leaders of the blind, who were only concerned with their own feeble attempts at self-righteousness in order to keep the law. But of course, they failed to see that they could never keep the law of themselves. They were false shepherds leading the people astray. And the Lord uses this and opens the eyes of the people by showing how that the false use of the sheep and the sheepfold, people who are trying to bring people to God their own way, and how that then he comes in John chapter 10 to say that he is the only way. Christ is the only door into the fold and into the family of God. But before we look at the door tonight, we need to just take a moment and look at the actual sheepfold. It's mentioned several times in this chapter. The sheepfold itself would have been a very familiar feature of life to all of the people. It was an enclosure surrounded by a wall made of large stones and boulders. And the wall would have been built high enough so that the sheep could not have got out of it themselves. Neither could thieves have got into it because of the thorny branches that were placed on top of that wall. But in the wall there was an opening. There was an entrance. And there was only one entrance. There was only one way into that sheepfold. And as the sheep would have been brought in at night, there was no actual physical door, but rather the shepherd himself would have lay across the opening in that sheepfold. And he would have been the door. He would have stretched himself across the opening of the sheepfold in order to keep the sheep in order to keep others out. The only way into that sheepfold in those Judean hills where was through the shepherd. And so with this in mind, the Lord says here in verse number 9, I am the door. No one can get into God's flock, into his sheepfold, but through Christ. There's only one way to the Father, only one way to God, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the door. And so with that image in our mind of the shepherd lying across the opening of the sheepfold and being the door, the actual door into that fold, there are some things that we want to consider about the door. Some very simple truths that I trust the Lord will use tonight to bring before us and to reinforce to each one of us, and especially for those who are here without Christ, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only door, the only entrance into the family of God. The first thing I would suggest to you about this door is that it speaks of separation. It speaks of separation. Any door that you care to think about, it separates one place from another. The doors in this very church building, they separate one room from another room. People could be in different rooms and they are separated by means of a door. And so a door separates. That brings before us the reality of a division. That ancient sheepfold, you see, that the Lord is using here, was a place of division. It was a place of separation. There were sheep in the sheepfold, just as there were sheep out wandering on the mountains, not in any fold. And when the sheep were in the fold, they were there and they were separated from the others outside of the fold. All brings before us the idea of separation and division. We're told today we live in a divided society, and in many ways we do. We live in a separated society, and people are separated and divided along all sorts of different lines. People are separated along the lines of nationality. People are divided along the lines of wealth and upbringing or education. But yet the Scriptures know nothing of such a division. The only division, the only separation that is clear and is taught in the Word of God is between those who are in the fold of God and those who are outside the fold of God. Those who are saved, those who are lost. That is the only division in this world. Forget about differences over politics. Forget about differences over ideas. All of those differences are minor because of this one division, this only separation between those who are in the fold of God and those who are outside of it. We think of this separation, of course, we're tied in here to the reality of sin. What is it that's separating others from God? What is it that separated us in our state by nature? It was sin. Sin could not come before a holy God. And it is sin that separates, and it is still sin that separates men from God. Sinner in this meeting tonight, without Christ, without God's salvation, without the knowledge of sins forgiven, the Word of God says that you're separated from God. The Scriptures teach that your sins have separated you from God. There is this grand idea that we're all in the family of God. This notion that's so prevalent in society today, that we're all in the one family and we're all going the one way. No, we're not. There's a very clear line of separation. And there was a separation in view here in John chapter 10 when the Lord said, I am the door. Sin separates, and sin still separates. Those who are here without Christ tonight, you're not in the fold or the family of God because you've never come through the door, which is Christ. You're outside of the door. You're outside of Christ. You're separated from Him. And that has been the case right from Eden. When Adam fell into sin, sin caused a separation. Sin caused a division. Sin caused Adam to be driven from the presence of God. And that's still the case tonight. Separated. Outside of God, outside of the family of God, there's separation. Cut off. You're not tonight, sinner, united to God. Rather, you are united to your sin. You're not a child of God. Rather, you are a child of wrath. You're outside the fold of God, outside of His family, shut off from the family of God. And the only way that you can come to God is through Christ. The only way to overcome this separation that sin causes is to come through Christ, the open door. For you to move from one room to another, to go from one place to another place, you need to go through the door because of this separation. And in order for you, sinner, to come to God, you need to come through the door, which is Christ. If you want to be where God is, and where is God tonight? God's in heaven. You want to be where He is, then you need to come through Christ and only through Christ. Well, people today will try many doors. People today will try the doors of religion. And they will try at that door so hard. And people, even this very Lord's Day morning, were trying at the door of religion to try to come to God. But the Lord says no church can save you. Maybe even you're trying this church, and your only hope for eternity is your attendance at Sandown Free Presbyterian Church. Doesn't matter how often you come through the doors of this church, we're glad to see you. It will never, never save you. People try the door of morality. Oh, they try to live a good life. They try to keep the law as best they can. But the law can never save us. The law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The door of good living. But the Lord says that all our righteousnesses, they're as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. People are trying the door of baptism, trying the door of sacraments, trying the door of confirmation, the door of rituals. All of these things, people are trying to come to God, trying that door. Some ritual as a child. You were told that being baptized or confirmed, and you enter then into the family of God. You listen to the words of false teachers who lead people astray, teaching people, what does the Lord call them, thieves and robbers? The Lord makes no bones about such false teachers. People who say that by sprinkling of water you're brought into the family of God. No, you're not. Water can never wash your sin away. Only the blood of Christ. And this country tonight is full and blighted with thieves and robbers. This city tonight is full of false teachers leading people astray, failing to sound out the gospel in all of its fullness. Failing to point out to men and women that the only way to God is through Christ and His finished work. Let me ask you tonight, what door are you trying? What door are you depending on tonight? What door do you think you've come through that will gain you admittance an acceptance with God. If you haven't come through Christ, then you haven't come at all. The only door into the fold of God and into the family of God is Christ, because we're separated. Sin separates. Sinner, tonight your work will never save you. Or the work that any man might claim to do on your behalf will never save you. Only Christ. The only door to God, the only way to God. Is there another entrance? Well, the imagery of the sheepfold told us that there was no other way. There wasn't some wee hole in the fold that one of the sheep could have got in through the back entrance. Do you know, I believe that in Protestant Ulster tonight, there are people with this idea that if they don't come through Christ, and if they don't forsake their sin, as we'll see in a moment, well, it'll just work out all right for them at the end. And somehow the Lord will turn a blind eye. Oh, they've been brought up a Protestant, loyal to the cause, loyal to the Queen and all the rest of it. That will never work. Your only loyalty is to Christ. And if you're not depending on Christ tonight, then you're not in the fold and family of God. He says, I am the door. That language is very emphatic. Makes it very plain, very simple, that there's no other door. There's no other way. You might try to find admission to God some other way, but there is no other way. Tonight, in order for you to be saved, in order for you to be brought to God, you must come through Christ, come the way of the cross. He gave his life. He sacrificed his life. Sinner, on the cross, Christ paid the price for your sin, because there was and is no other way. If there was another way, if there was another door to God, then why did Christ have to suffer such? If you can get to God your own way, if you can find forgiveness of sins your own way, then why did Christ have to die? We say it and we say it again, he had to die because there was no other way. He alone is the door. No other means through which a sinner could be reconciled to God but through Christ and a saving faith in his finished work. On the golden streets of heaven, the hymn writer said, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others trust on good works or opinions, if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. The soul-cleansing blood of the Savior. I've been washed in the crimson flood. Though the world may say there is hope some other way, I'm depending on the blood. What are you depending on tonight? Have you come to God through Christ, who is the only door? That door indicates separation. Separation from God. And sinner, if you don't come to God through Christ, if you don't come in time, then and for all eternity, you will be eternally separated from him. If you don't come to God through Christ while you have opportunity and while the Spirit of God works and strives with you, and you go out of this world still unconverted and still in your sin, then you will be separated from him for all the ages of eternity. You see, to be separate from God in this life is a terrible state. But in this life, while you have breath within your body, there is hope, because Christ is still the open door to God. But you reject that door. You reject Jesus Christ, then you will be eternally separated. And that separation will be final. There'll be no turning around or no reversing of that separation. Because you go out into this God's eternity, a sinner, still under the wrath of God, you will be damned and condemned to a lost eternity. A place where God is not. And in your own rebellion and your own stubbornness, you're holding on to your sin, not willing to let go of your sin. That which is separating you from God one day, if that sin is not repented of, not turned away from, then one day you will for all eternity be separated. And in hell there are no escape routes. In hell, there is no way out. In hell, eternally and forever, separated from God. This door, it speaks of separation. But I want you to see as well here in verse number 9 that it speaks of salvation. By me, that is Christ, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's the hope tonight in the gospel. This door which separates those who are in the fold of God from those who are out of the fold of God, there is hope tonight. Because if you enter in through Christ, this Bible tells us the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he says he shall be saved. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. If you come to God through Christ, you shall be saved. That's the hope of the gospel tonight. That's the assurance of the gospel tonight. But what does it mean to come through the door? What does it mean to come to Christ and be saved? Well, if you come through any door, it means that you're leaving one place behind and you're coming into a different place. Means that you're leaving something or somewhere behind and coming through a door into another place. You see, you don't come through a door and stay in the same place. You come through a door and you come into a different place, a new place. And in salvation, coming through Christ, the door, the only way to God, the only way to be saved, means that you're coming into a different place. Because whenever you come to God through Christ, you're coming into a different relationship and a different standing before God. You see, outside of the fold, there's separation from God. But whenever you come through Christ, there's reconciliation to God. It means that you have to leave where you are. You have to leave your sin. You have to forsake your sin and come through Christ and receive him, trust him, believe him. This idea today of easy believism, this idea that you can just make some very easy and light decision and really there's no difference in your life, is not the case. There's no such a place for easy believism in the Word of God. Because when you come to God through Christ, you leave your sin behind. The true convert to Christ will hate their sin and not want their sin. Forsake it. There's repentance and there is faith. Both of those, of course, are essential to conversion. Because without saving faith, without godly repentance, you will never be saved. Without coming through Christ, which involves faith, which involves repentance, you will not know God's salvation. But thank God for all those who do come that way. There is salvation. If you don't have Christ tonight, then it matters not what else you might have. You're not saved. You might be baptized. You might have been confirmed. You might have been received into some church, but if you've never come to Christ, then you're not saved. In Christ alone my hope is found. In Christ alone is salvation found. What is the purpose of a door? It's to gain admission, it's to gain acceptance. And Christ is your way to God tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life on the cross, is your only way to Him. It's the only way that you can be saved. Notice the scope of salvation. It says there, if any man enter in. If anyone will come to God through Christ, they shall be saved. Matters not who you are, what you are, how you've lived your life. If you come to God through Christ, He will forgive your sins. He will save your life. He will not turn you away. The surety of salvation shall be saved. No doubt about it. He who has attained salvation, that salvation is guaranteed because of Him and because of His finished work on the cross. And then there is the security in salvation, because those whom the Lord brings into His own fold will never be lost. Never be lost. When you come in through the door, is Christ. When you enter in through Christ, God brings you in and God keeps you in. Maybe you fear tonight if you were to come to God, you would never keep it. And you'd be right. Couldn't keep your salvation for a moment. Not one of us could. But we're saved by the power of God. We're also kept by the same power. Now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He brings you in, sinner, and He'll keep you in. You'll never be lost. There isn't one of God's redeemed people in hell tonight. Those who come through Christ into the fold of God, not one of them's lost. Through Christ there is this security. Also in Christ there is liberty. Verse goes on and speaks about going in and out. Going in and out. Now that doesn't mean that if they go out they'll be lost. But I believe here that the Lord is talking about a liberty, a freedom in Christ. We live our lives through Him. All that we do is through Him. Christ sets us free. Because you see, in sin there's bondage. No liberty in sin tonight. I know the glossy advertisements will paint a different picture. But sin binds the sinner. But Christ sets the sinner free. Do you have this liberating experience of salvation, or are you still bound to your sin? In Christ alone there is salvation. Through Christ alone there is salvation. But finally as well tonight, there's not only separation and salvation, but there's also satisfaction for those who come through the door. The end of the verse says, and find pasture. Speaks of nourishment, speaks of growth, speaks of satisfaction. The sheep would feed in the pastures around them, and they would be satisfied, knowing that they had the security and knowing that it was well with them. What the sheep needs to be satisfied in life will be found in the pastures. And you see, when the darkened souls of men, what they need to be satisfied in this life, they'll find it alone in Christ. This world tonight is running headlong to hell. Sinners tonight in this city, running here and running there to find satisfaction. To find some sort of enjoyment, some sort of peace in this life. We can say in the words of the hymn writer tonight, now none but Christ can satisfy. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. The pasture, it speaks of refreshment. Speaks of rest. And the Lord tonight says to the weary sinner, come. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ saves you. Christ sustains you. Christ will satisfy you. Whenever you come to Christ tonight, you will want for nothing else. Whenever you leave your sin and come through Christ the door into the fold of God, you will not desire after anything else. Because as we see there in verse number 10, he gives life, more abundant life. You only think tonight you have life. You only have an existence. But in Christ tonight there is real life. There is true life. There is satisfaction for all who will come to him. And tonight this door, who is Christ, is available to you. Regardless of who you are and what you are, you can come to God. It's available. And he is accessible. Because tonight you can come. And tonight you must come. If you're ever going to be where God is, and God is in heaven, if you're ever going to be brought into the fold and family of God, then you must come through Christ. Whatever other door you've been trying, whatever other method you've been trying to bring peace to your soul, tonight you need to forget it and come to Christ. Wherever you've been searching tonight for life and for satisfaction, you need to stop searching because you'll never find it till you come to Christ. What fold tonight are you in? What master do you follow tonight? Are you in the fold of God? You ever come to God through Christ? Or tonight are you outside of that fold? One of those sheep lost on the mountains of sin. Then tonight come to Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you come to him and be saved? Will you come tonight and find true satisfaction that is to be found alone in him? Let's bow in prayer. And as we close our meeting tonight, if this night finds you outside of the fold of God, if this night you realize that you've never been in the family of God because you've never come to that place, faith, repentance, you've never come through the door of which is Christ, then why not tonight leave your sin behind? Come and receive Jesus Christ enter in through him who is the open door. And the assurance is you shall be saved. You shall be satisfied. If we can help you, want to speak to us, you've concerned about your soul. This night, make sure that you get those matters dealt with. Make sure tonight you're in the fold and family of God. Eternal God and our Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. We praise thee, Lord, tonight that thou art the door. We thank the Lord for each one in this meeting who have come to God through Christ, the open door. And Lord, we can say tonight that he satisfies, that he is not a disappointment. But, O God, we pray for those tonight still outside of the fold. Lord, those who are lost in their sin and the mountains of sin, far away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, those who are trying to come some other way. We pray, Lord, that this night you'll open their eyes. And Lord, that this night they'll come to God through Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak on and do a work in hearts and lives. Do that work which only thou canst do. So answer prayer, and may thy voice continue to be heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close with the words of hymn number 289. Hymn number 289, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." "But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Tonight I wonder, will you come to Christ? Will you enter in through him? Will this night find you in Christ? Or will this night find you out of Christ? Tonight come and be saved. Verse 1, verse 5, and verse 7, please. Verse 1, verse 5, and verse 7. As we stand to sing, 289 verses 1, 5, and 7. Heavenly Father, we pray that this night that you'll give grace to sinners to come. This night they'll enter in through Christ. Answer prayer, speak on, we pray. Part us now with thy blessing, travel with us, we ask of thee. Lord, keep us ever in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask all of this. Amen.